Yep. I feel radio. Music is back again. Episode 34, 10-17-06. Frank White, Malice Factor.
And Big City.
Is not here tonight.
No, he's here, but we taped him up. Got tired of him. Put some duct tape over him, tied him up, put him in the other room.
Nah, he called.
Planning on beating him to death after the show's over.
He called, said he wasn't feeling well. His vagina was a little rash in his vagina. So
yeah, like the war driving episode.
So yeah, way to not show up, Big City.
Yeah, way to leave us hanging with no content.
So back to the music deal this week. I don't know if people liked it or not, but whatever.
Yeah, we got no feedback, so the fuck would we know? And then again, I don't check the feedback, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. You know, people are listening. People are listening, you know what I'm saying?
Right, it's one of those things.
Yeah. Metatron, where you at, buddy?
Yeah, we're... Oh, man.
So,
I feel unloved.
And I mean... We're here playing all this, you know, basically illegal music every week now.
Every other week.
Every other week. I think if you got a song you want to hear, why don't you email us the MP3 at radio@flradio.com. We can't take requests, but just email us the fucking file and we'll play it. We'll add it to the mix.
Right. What are we listening to now?
Pearl Jam. Brain of Jay. So, yeah. So, you know, email to us, radio@flradio.com. We got the website, flradio.com. I don't know why you would even go there, but in case you want to, there it is.
You know, there is one exciting change going on in our lives right now, besides one of the hosts not showing up. I have a new mic stand.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
So.
What?
I guess
it really is exciting.
You know what else is exciting is that Google bought YouTube, huh?
Yeah, fuck that.
What's it? $1.65 billion.
How much is YouTube really worth? If you think about it, not to sound like some of the assholes that you know we grew up with or went to school with or whatever, but you know what? You know I don't understand some of these tech companies, and this must be a holdover mentality from the 90s or whatever. Like, you go to this company and you say, you know, I'd like to buy you. You got this collection of all these fucking, you know, weird ass videos. You got this fucking rating network. You got the social network in place. How much are you worth, really? Oh, you know what sounds right about me? $1.5 billion. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, come on now.
I mean, how do the YouTube guys have the balls to ask for that much money?
How did the fucking people who valued this deal go down and be like, oh yeah, that's right, boss. You want to sign that fucking check. As a matter of fact,
I mean, as much as I love YouTube, and I love watching stuff like Wendy's rap videos,
right,
training videos.
$1.65 billion?
My official assessment, the value, through all the training I've had, college and job experience and everything, as I sat down and I really put a lot of thought into how much YouTube was worth. I mean, I had spreadsheets coming out the ass. I had all this stuff going on, right? A lot of research.
Right.
My official assessment is $1.65 billion divided by $1
billion. Wow. That's a small number.
But to Google, it's completely different. See, I don't think Google
Why does Google play by their own fucking rules, man?
Well, they've got Google Video and they've got all this other stuff going on. And I think that they might be worried about people suing YouTube, which was coming.
Yeah, it definitely was coming.
Because you had these two fucking dickheads that started YouTube, or however many guys they were, you know, that probably scratched their balls on a keyboard and came up with this fucking idea. And, you know, it's total jealousy coming out of my mouth right now, but it's true. It's a couple fucking assholes, all right? And they got some funding, you know, 10, 20 grand to run these fucking servers, because obviously it costs an arm and a leg.
Right.
And, you know, an OC3 pipe or whatever, and fucking some folding tables, and it's happening. YouTube hit is happening. So they are gonna get sued into fucking oblivion. Okay? Everybody was fucking, they were just lining up.
MD with the wrong pipe. Oh. You see, that, let that be a warning to all you who talk shit about Google. You know?
You just got force choked by Google? Is that what that was?
Seriously, make me choke on my beverage.
These guys at YouTube were about to get fucking ass-reamed like anyone's been ass-reamed before. And now that Google bought them...
They brought them under the protective umbrella of the do-no-evil empire.
All the wolves just fucking went astray. So, if YouTube got reamed out in copyrights...
Which was going to happen.
That would have been effectively the end of Google Video and a whole lot of stuff. That Google Video... See, the thing is what happens with these copyright laws and everything? If someone doesn't say it's illegal to show a video of copyrighted material on your website, there'll be like a law that says it's illegal to show video on your website, you know? Because everyone just gets it fucking wrong.
Right.
And I think it really would have probably infringed on what Google wants to do down the road. And that's the only reason I could think.
You know, I feel what you're saying. I definitely smell what you're cooking.
And I don't know if this is like floating out there as an idea. You know, I didn't read this on some asshole's blog this morning.
Right.
I saw one article related to this after couple days after the whole thing went down. And I thought about it, and I was like, well, at least I'm not that crazy. But
you know, the thing is, there are plenty of other fucking sites out there that also sell, or not sell, but, you know, do the same shit that YouTube does, just not as popular.
It's just not YouTube.
Right.
You know, so on top of it, you do have the people, and you do have the, you know... Everything.
Google's gonna have... You know what? That's a good business model. Build a business that you think Google will buy.
It is a business model. Don't fucking kid yourself. It's a business model.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking about what we can do. I'm thinking about the inevitable...
In fact, I think there was like a story in Business Week last year about that business model.
Won't let them fucking write a check for FBillRadio.com.
I don't think so.
$1.2 billion sounds about right to me.
The funny part is out of all...
I don't know how it sounds to you, but...
Out of all the startups and all these ideas and all this... You know, all the startups with all the cash that Google has, pound for pound, they've invested less... At least up until this YouTube deal, by far, than any other company in buying up other shit. They've been very fucking cheap with their money.
Right.
Or smart, depending on how you put it.
So,
you know. We'll see how smart fucking YouTube buying is. But, yeah.
Has anybody heard of Chad Vader?
What the fuck is that?
Dude, fucking Google right now.
Why do you gotta make me do stuff while I'm trying to, like, talk?
Because
Chad Vader?
Yes.
Day shift manager? What the hell is this?
It's what happens when two fucking assholes with no lives and small talent get a video camera and an idea.
I'll have to watch this later.
What's fucking premiered? Their episode 4, I believe, was shown on fucking, I think, Good Morning America, like the 11th or some shit like that, or 13th.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Bullshit.
Fucking.
See?
Well, they're probably selling t-shirts on Cafe Press, too. Fucking assholes. They can't even get a real t-shirt made, like the F-Bill t-shirts. You're non-existent.
Yeah, not anymore. I'm wearing one of the few F-Bill t-shirts left in existence. They're going to be collector's item one day. You're going to regret that you didn't buy one.
So, this was kind of crazy. Scientists teleport two different objects.
You know, I heard about that, but I didn't read it, so... Because I knew you would talk about it on the show.
Unfortunately, I can't really read it because it's printed out from CNN.com.
You know,
it's so microscopic.
What the fuck? You know, I thought it was my printer settings, and then I checked your shit, and it's exactly the same.
So, yeah, this is...
Print out articles, and you will be fucked trying to read them.
The experiment involved, for the first time, a macroscopic atomic object containing thousands of billions of atoms.
Thousands of billions of atoms.
Isn't that like trillions?
I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm
illiterate. Not to get up on my math skills.
They also teleported the information a distance of half a meter, but believe it could be extended further. That's fucking wild, isn't
right,
it?
Right, Scotty, you know.
Yeah, that's whatever. What everyone's walking around saying.
Of course. You know, I hate the quality of articles from CNN.com. Like, the writing is just bad.
It really is. I mean, like, my personal favorite is the BBC, but...
Yeah, fuck the BBC, too. Like, today there was a story, the unusual meteorite found in Kansas. I'm going to read a little bit of this here now.
Okay.
This was interesting, but here. Scientists located a rare meteorite in a wheat field thanks to new ground-penetrating radar technology that someday might be used on Mars. That is the only time the four-planet solar system is mentioned in this article. Has absolutely nothing to fucking do with meteorites, other than the fact that you can kind of sort of make a connection to the subject matter. Like, yeah. You know, Mars is a celestial body that's out there. And meteorites are celestial bodies that hit the planet, you know? Like, I mean, what the fuck, man? Next sentence. The dig in Kansas Monday was likely the most documented excavation yet of a meteorite find, with researchers painstakingly using brushes and hand tools in order to preserve evidence of the impact trail and to date the event of the meteorite strike. Soil samples were also bagged and tagged, an organic material preserved for dating purposes. They just described, like, digging up a fucking rock. Although, you know, this was the most documented case of a meteorite find. You know, I mean, it's just bad writing, man.
It's always bad. At least CNN.com, you can get a printable version of the article. If you have a website, all right, this is the end of 2006 now, nearing the end of 2006. If you have a website and you do news, okay, or anything like that, and you don't have a printable version, your website should be fucking shut down.
I'm going to take you a step further on that. If you are designing pages of your articles in printer-friendly fucking thing, you're a fucking asshole. Specify a print style sheet. Motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. You think you would take that power to print your shit out. You would set fonts like you would set for a regular paper document. You know what I'm saying? You use points or whatever. You would use inches to measure shit out. You would enjoy... No, you wouldn't. Never mind. I know I'm being... unrealistic, but...
Yeah.
Fucking... This article just went from bad to worse. Like, I thought this was interesting, but... The Mars reference just threw me off, man. You know?
There's tons of articles like that. It's just unbelievable.
Hey, they created Californium. Did you see that?
What the fuck is that?
A new element.
Californium?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's such a gay name. It's not like as cool as like iridium or something. I mean, iridium's a pretty cool name.
Revisiting one of physics' most embarrassing cases of scientific misconduct, researchers from Russia and the United States announced Monday that they have created a new super heavy element, atomic number 118. Scientists said they smashed together calcium with the man-made element californium to make an atom with 118 protons and nucleus. So apparently californium is already an element, and I trade my noobness with the with the elements. Well, Mr. White's case still stands. It's fucking a dumb ass name. Creating an element, this is a soundbite. Creating a new element is sort of the holy grail of nuclear physics, said Konrad Gelbke, a scientist who was not on the team, but is going to say a quote for the fucking news article anyway.
Oh, man. Journalism has gone so downhill.
So what the fuck is it named?
It's not probably California. Not named yet. It's probably not named yet.
It's like 113, 114, 115, and 116, apparently. I'm just going to say it's called Californium 2. Or Californium Junior.
Well, let's see. Internet security systems.
Oh, that's always fun. That's a fun topic on FDOR Radio.
The organization is reporting 2006 is a record year when it comes to security vulnerabilities. If that is a surprise.
I thought every year was a record year for that.
You want to take a number, a guess at the number, as of Monday, October 9th?
1.65 billion.
Almost. Do you want a little lower guess?
Their standards aren't lower. Why should mine be?
5,450.
That was close.
So yeah, you're relatively close.
Are they all SQL vulnerabilities?
They're all Internet Explorer, Microsoft Word,
Excel,
Excel macro,
Xbox,
fucking
360.
Oh, this is precious. A pile of jelly left in a road in Germany caused a major security alert after it was mistaken for toxic waste. Fucking pile of jelly. Large area near the town of Halle was cordoned off after a flabby red, orange, and green substance was found by the road. Reuters reported. Reuters, I mean, is like the biggest waste of news agency and planet. Fire officers in protective suits spent 2 hours inspecting the substance before concluding it was jelly.
And you know what's funny? I can totally imagine them saying shit in the funny German dialect. South Park style.
The spillage was traced to a wedding party. The newlywed groom, who was woken up and informed of the alert, promised to clean up the mess of jelly on the side of the road.
The Autobahnen? Where do you find that shit from, man? Besides Reuters.
Let's see. Microsoft had new high in the water line of flaws discovered in their software. Record 26 flaws covering both Windows and Office products have resulted in Microsoft issuing 10 patches, 6 of which carry the most severe critical tag, all on the same day.
So, Mr. White, how does it feel with your fucking laptop just dying on you because you didn't plug it in like a noob?
I thought I saw the power brick down there.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it says...
How's it feel not having to worry about that bullshit anymore? Not to use the Mac all the time.
It feels good. I like the Mac.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have to worry about it for work and stuff, but mostly dealing with the atrocities of Oracle 8. But
I thought didn't you migrate from that?
Well, we're dishing out Oracle XE, the free thing, and there's one place that's going Oracle 10G, but I think those noobs over in Japan are going to be using the 10G. Anyway.
Those fuckers.
This also says that one of the most critical updates, four were for the Office suite. All the main Office products, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, required serious vulnerabilities. Updates to fix serious vulnerabilities. This is written so horribly. I mean, I know I can't read, but it's like dude, missing words. We're that if exploited, could hand over control of the computer to an attacker. How the fuck can you gain control of a computer through PowerPoint? I mean, that is just bad software design. An integration into the OS that should never fucking be there.
You're more the expert on that than I am. So, you know, how would a typical PowerPoint attack go down?
Fuck if I know. God, it's so... so gay. Alright.
It's really just a sport to, you know, figure out how you can own a Windows box in new creative ways.
Alright.
Has anyone actually used PowerPoint for listeners to the show?
I don't know. Everybody in the world loves PowerPoint. Everybody in the office.
Why?
If you're in a cube, people, like, love PowerPoint.
Yeah, but
like
they use it for all the wrong reasons. Like, they send
exactly.
you, like, slideshows of, like, their vacation from fucking Jamaica, you know, in a
yeah.
PowerPoint format.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen these atrocities waged on the fucking corporate intranet place where I work, where fucking people... there's one fucking slide! And you've created a PowerPoint document.
For one slide.
Yeah, to set a page, you know, to be posted on the net. It's one fucking slide. And you're not going to convert that to fucking HTML, dude, or however the fuck they do it. You know?
Oh, no way. No way. God.
One slide.
And they're all awful looking. Like, no one even tries to make nice slides.
Yes.
Like, most of the PowerPoint presentations that I've ever seen in an office environment are just disgustingly fucking default ugly.
Default ugly.
You know. Because, I mean, Microsoft doesn't even make nice default stuff. You know what I mean? It'd be so bad if they had nice default templates and shit. It's all ass. It all looks like ass.
You know, why don't they just hire someone to make templates for it?
I know, and you figure they got enough money, they can't get a couple of these graphic designers?
Yeah,
in there to make a couple of fucking templates? I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, is that breaking balls? Is that asking for too much?
Well, you gotta buy the fucking template disc for $700 that's included with the Office Suite, right?
Oh, that's awful. So, this is pretty sweet.
What's up?
Canadian troops fighting the Taliban... Taliban in Afghanistan stumbled across an unexpected and potent enemy. Almost impenetrable forests of 10-foot high marijuana plants. How awesome is that?
What?
How you got 10-foot high marijuana plants out there in fucking Afghanistan is beyond me. I mean, that guy needs to come here to the States and make some real fucking cash. But...
what the fuck did they do? They started smoking it?
No, dude. The Taliban fighters
were Canadian, right?
Listen to this, dude. This is what is... I mean, this is the reason I'm bringing this up. Aside from 10-foot marijuana plants and Mr. White dying in fucking heaven. 10-foot marijuana... The Taliban fighters were using the forest as cover. In response, the crew... of at least one armored car had camouflaged your vehicle in marijuana. I would so be kicked out of the Canadian military for smoking an armored car. Yeah. The challenge is that marijuana plants absorb energy and heat very readily. It's difficult to penetrate with thermal devices to fucking scan for people. This is why the Taliban had it to fucking hide in there. To hide from, like, thermal imaging and stuff. That's awesome.
Fucking ridiculous.
Dude, you just pass out in there for, like, a century.
Yes.
Oh man.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've heard.
I tell you, there's probably nothing better than a fucking nothing funnier than
update in the war on terror. Taliban.
Than sitting in 10-foot-high marijuana plants with a bunch of Taliban motherfuckers, listening to those fuckers stoned to the bejesus belt, giggling
saying,
like little girls,
George Bush, fuck George Bush,
and the little funny voices. You know what I mean?
That's great, man.
We tried burning them with phosphorus, it didn't work. We tried burning them with diesel, it didn't work. The plants are so full of water right now, we simply couldn't burn them.
Damn. That's fucking great, man. That should be posted on the front page of FBO Radio.
Listen to this. A couple of brown plants on the edge of the forest did catch on fire. But a section of soldiers that was downwind from that had some ill effects. This is what they said. They had some ill effects and decided that was probably not the right course of action.
They suffered some ill effects, huh?
One soldier said, "Sir, 3 years before, 3 years ago before I joined the army, I'm giving up. I can't fucking talk today.
Sir, 3 years ago before I joined the army, I never thought I'd say that damn marijuana. Damn."
So, today, officially today, the U.S. population hit 300 million people.
Right.
39 years after it reached 200 million. So, to combat this problem, it's FBIL Radio's official recommendation that, you go kill yourself.
Also official today, even better suggestion for you to kill yourself, President Bush signs bill to interrogate, prosecute terror suspects.
Yeah. Fucking great.
So now all you have to do is go around calling people terrorists, and they'll get, thrown in prison, tortured to death, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm not providing...
Hey, you're a terrorist.
So are you. You're the one talking about Taliban hiding out in fucking marijuana. You just wrote up that article too. You don't fucking know. Maybe you do know because you were there and you weren't fighting with the Canadians.
I'm going on a plane tomorrow. I'm going to Seattle tomorrow.
Yeah, you told us last time. What are you planning on doing out there?
On checking out Paul Allen's like rock and roll.
Mr. White's gonna be dropping some FBIL cards out in Seattle.
That's a good call. I gotta grab some out of the stash.
Right.
Take that.
So
when I get searched by airport security.
Yeah, because you're gonna wear your fucking face mask.
That'd be funny if I just stuck a card in like every crevice. My shoes, in each pocket. So, like, empty your pockets. I empty, like, a card out every pocket and stuff. I don't know. Just lay them all. She's like, no, you can have this. Hey, Bob, here, have a card. FBIL Radio.
You wouldn't actually do that, though.
No, I wouldn't, because these days, you fucking get ass raped by Homeland Security and, you'll disappear. So, 300 million. Hopefully some people will
US.
Go out and, do everyone a favor and kill themselves.
That's fucking harsh, dude.
Yeah.
You're going to hell when you die.
I mean, there's some people,
no, seriously, you're going to hell when you die.
I mean, especially, big cities, one of the infected ones now.
One of the infected ones?
Like, he's sick. He's not here. I mean, if he just... I mean, think about it. If everyone who had the flu right now just offed themselves, it kind of, it would help.
You know, Mr. Arian White, his fucking euthanasia program over here. Come on, man. It's tasteless.
I didn't say anything about the kids, man.
It has nothing to do with the kids. It has everything with killing the weak and infirm and the undesirables of society.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're undesirable. Oh, that's so awful.
Yeah, dude, you really are going to hell when you die.
No, I'm definitely like an asshole mode today.
Yeah, I know. What the fuck's going on with you? Is because you printed out all those fucking stories? You realize you only read like 10 of them?
Nah, I mean, it's some good stuff, man.
The fucking 500 that you printed out, wasting on your fucking ink cartridge? Yeah, how does it feel like to be back in the realm with the fucking inkjet users have been having laser printers for so long. Not too good for us anymore, are you, bastard?
Oh, we're a half hour in already?
Yeah, dude.
Wow, time goes by fast when big cities not here. I told him, I said, you realize you're not being here tonight, we're just gonna make fun of you like all show.
And he was okay with that?
He's like, yeah, I look forward to listening to it tomorrow.
He had no fucking internet, huh, man? How are you gonna download it?
He's stealing internet from his neighbor now.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah, he's officially got internet access.
Congratulations, big city.
Yeah. Yeah, I told him you could just get a... She should just buy, like, a Lyman's headset and go over there and start making phone calls. You know what I mean? Like...
You know, speaking of that, I was talking to the phone guy today at work.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a lot of interesting stories to tell, man. Yeah. He was talking about... He used to work for a big utility company. And, before where he worked now, and... excuse me. He was talking about, like, when he was... working there, it was kind of like they were switching from the fucking old mechanical switches and the old analog shit going over to digital system and stuff like that, so he was kind of like coming up in between eras, so he got to see the old shit. Like he said he went into his closet or like some storage room or something, and they had like an old ass switch that was like fucking could have been like good like 50 feet fucking long, and it was still in use because they hadn't decommissioned yet, so he was just watching the thing fucking dial out numbers, you know, as it's getting
used. That's
fucking
sweet.
Yeah, dude, he was talking about that, and he was talking, we got started because we were talking about a problem with the phone system he's been having, so I had wondered, you know, I asked him, I'm like, why do you fucking have to dial 9 to dial out?
Yeah.
So he went into the whole spiel about, how 9 is like a fucking kind of like a universal digit for phone guys.
That is it.
You know, and he's just saying all this stuff, and he's going in, and then he gets into this tangent about area codes and everything. He's getting all pissed off and stuff, and he's talking about area codes because, you know, he's kind of a weird dude, but yeah, it was cool. And he was just talking about, you know, going into the old closets and shit. Like he said, like guys that would set those systems up, it was like just perfect the way the wires were wrapped and all this other stuff. And he's like, they would fucking sign their names. Like,
oh, there was definitely a real art to that stuff. You know what I mean? Wiring up a nice looking closet.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, it's skill and patience and thought, and definitely.
Yeah, and he's just saying, like, it's like that's just kind of lost now. You know, now you just.
Because if you've ever seen a bad closet. I mean, like, I saw an office, like, a 12-floor office building, like, 75 years worth of horribleness. I mean, this office building literally could not fit one more fucking Cat 3 wire, Cat 5 cable up the fucking chute to where the telephone rack was, which was at the top of the building. Damn. Not in the basement, because in the basement was a bank. So at the fucking top of the building, which is just ass backwards, but
right.
It's what it was. And it's, I mean, it was like just you walked in this room and there's just this fucking wall that you could walk all the way around 360 where all the fucking twisted pairs went. It's just disgusting mess where nobody knew what anything was. Just piles of cables.
It's a complete
and
clusterfuck.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know,
I mean,
that's
you think about
saying.
Getting, like, a fucking tone, you know, tone gen fucking thing and start marking those things out. You're like, fuck you. Fuck you, buddy. I quit. Give me McDonald's. Fuck this.
Right.
Ah.
No, it was just cool. I talked to him for a good, like, fucking half hour. You know, the phone guy, you know, what the fuck's he doing besides his phone system's all set up in this
building? It's always sweet talking to phone guys.
Yeah, and he's an old timer too.
Yeah,
he's crazy too. But he'd been working in the fucking phone industry since he got out of college. It was fucking, you know, 25 years ago for this guy. So he's kind of, like you say, he's in between eras, you know. And then this old utility company that he's working at, he saw the switch over, you know. And he's like, it's amazing. He went and they had the old system, like, literally operators with fucking, you know, connecting calls with the wires and shit, pulling out of boards and stuff. Yeah. And he's like, and then you change it out, and then it's this new system, and it's smaller. You know, and he's like, yeah, it's amazing. You see the progress like that. Yeah. You know, that's what he was getting at, basically. It was cool. He's crazy.
It's a cool talk.
Yeah. I wish I had a tape recorder.
Peter Thiel, co-founder and former chief executive officer of PayPal, announced he was pledging $3.5 million to support scientific research into the alleviation and eventual reversal of the debilitating The abilities caused by aging. Basically, he pledged $3.5 million to fucking plug, you know.
Can he pledge fucking money to the debilitating effects of having to fucking actually code a backend that uses fucking PayPal shit? Fucking adverse effect?
It does fucking suck. Debilities. I've never said that word before. Debilitating and all that stuff. Debilities.
I don't think that's a real word, actually. It's just my hunch.
I mean, yeah, I guess I'm kind of with you. That's why I got stuck. I was like, what? You know?
I mean, it's possible that's a real word, but...
I mean, granted, I, you know, don't know many, very many words, but... How many words are there in the English language?
Something over 500,000.
Really?
In the lexicon, yeah.
I wonder, out of every word that I know, what percentage I know? Is there stats on, like, the average...
There probably human. Is. You know, it's funny you bring it up. I was actually thinking about that the other day. You could probably find that out somewhere at some website that's looking to get bought by Google.
Radically postpone aging, giving indefinite lifespans. That's great. 300 million alike. 7 trillion in no time.
Right.
People need to die.
All right. Yeah, that's a good theme for FL Radio tonight.
I'm sorry, but it's true. People don't... People need to die, okay? Bird flus need to happen. War needs to happen.
Man.
People need to fucking die.
Yankees pitchers gotta fly themselves in the buildings.
Oh, that's hateful. That's hateful right there. That's totally hateful. What is this?
It's Kanye West.
Oh, I know what this is.
I haven't listened to Kanye West in like 5 years, man. No, I'm serious. Fucking people gotta fly themselves in buildings, alright? You know, guys gotta go in and kill their parents and their fucking 3 teenage sisters and drive off. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit needs to happen.
No, people do need to die. Unfortunately, I mean, I'm not wishing on anyone. But it's a fact of the matter that people seem to forget. You know, you have the people out there that want to save everyone. And you got to understand, like, and maybe it's not a good idea to save everyone.
Hey, that's what took down Dr. Frankenstein, right? He was such a noob. He wanted to combat death, right? I mean, that's playing God, basically. I mean, that's what Mary Shelley was. Well, she was also taking a jab at dominant male culture, too. But, you know, not that we discuss English literature on FL Radio.
But, no, I have a lot of talks with people where I say people need to die. And people can't handle that too well.
Well, dude, it's not something you say every day. I mean,
well, no, it's not. I don't walk around with banners that say it, but you know, you get into these discussions. Yeah. You get into these discussions about saving people, or, you know, this one dog shouldn't be put to sleep because, you know, you get all these people, and, you know, I mean, I know a few individuals that are, you know, sort of into this stuff, like, no animals should ever be put to sleep, or, you know, this or that, or...
Yeah, fuck them.
You know, yeah. Like, animals need to die, too. I'm sorry.
The planet is finite.
You know,
Earth needs to die as well. I believe in... You know, I mean... Seriously, we need... This is a recycling program. If you believe in death, you believe in recycling.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to get.
Yes. I mean, that's a good...
Speaking of death, there's one other item I wanted to talk about. This was actually kind of interesting. You probably saw it, Mr. White. You would find this interesting. Vatican unveils World of the Dead. Vatican City.
Is that like an amusement park ride? Or?
In Italy, yeah, it qualifies.
Awesome.
Visitors to the Vatican will soon be able to descend into an ancient world of the dead, a newly unveiled necropolis that was a burial place for the rich and not so affluent during Roman imperial rule.
I want to go.
Vatican Museums officials. Okay, I'm saying that correctly. It says museums, so it must be Vatican Museums.
Who knows?
Officials and archaeologists on Monday gave a press tour of the necropolis, which was unearthed 3 years ago during construction of a parking lot.
Something else that needs to die. Parking lots.
Well, you know, forests should be torn down, and we need more parking for, you know, it's just like in,
Because we do have 300 million people.
Well, you know, that means that there's, you know, 2 trillion cars in the United States. Because, you know, every family, 2 people feels the need to own 5 vehicles. Well, that's why, you know, and,
Yeah, I'm part of that. 3 motorcycles and a bicycle.
You know,
one of those Barbie trucks you've got the battery with. For
you know,
6
Ford Prefect and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy took that name on because he thought it would be inconspicuous. Because in his, you know, half a second of research he did on planet Earth, he thought that cars were the dominant life form on Earth. You know, literally. So, you know, basically, if you're into this stuff, this is cool. There's a lot of like normal shit, normal people are buried in here, mailmen, okay, Roman Empire mailmen, they probably had the same sweet hours like our mailmen do, fucking assholes. apparently a set artist from Pompeii Theater where Julius Caesar got stabbed to death, supposedly, some babies buried in there. It's just interesting. It's always cool when they find shit like that, I think, anyway, you know. But, you know, it needs to get recycled is what we're trying to do. This, once the tour's over, they need to continue finishing that parking lot. So Vatican Museum's officials have a convenient place to go to the park so they can go to work.
Fucking parking lots. You know, I mean, if people wonder why you have stuff like cancers and all this crazy shit that exists.
People wonder why? I don't know why.
Well, you don't. But, I mean, people are... I mean, in general, people have a hard time accepting death, especially when it's, you know, somebody they care about. I mean, you can't tell a guy whose wife's got cancer that it just needs to be that way for the benefit of the world. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way.
Right.
I mean, and that is damn hateful. You know, I would never say that, but the truth is, on the whole, that it does need to happen. You know,
a cold-hearted yet pragmatic view of the world.
And it's not that I've never dealt with this stuff personally, that I don't feel, you know, never felt the pain of death. You know what I mean?
Oh man!
But
you know, I was totally gonna go with like an ethnic cleansing thing to go with the Mr. White theme that we got, but I thought I would save you that. You know?
Jeez. I wish that could just go away.
It can't, man.
Oh. It's going the distance. Going for speed. So, what's up with this stupid bully game?
Grand Theft Auto in a prep school.
And U.S. judge rejected attempts to ban the video game in Florida.
Nice. I'm not sure if it can be characterized as Grand Theft Auto in a prep school, but Rockstar Games did make it.
And they pretty much make everything the exact same as Grand Theft Auto.
Right. Jack Thomas, or Thompson, or whatever the fuck his name is, the anti-video game raving lunatic lawyer guy from Florida.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago, or when the game was first announced, basically made in a he made a he wrote an open letter to what the fuck is it, Ken Baker or whoever the fuck know, runs Takes Two, and he said, you know, you're going to release a, as he calls them, a murder simulator onto the market that tries to actively recreate Columbine.
Which Columbine is, simulator.
Yeah. Right, Columbine simulator, which is complete bullshit. You know, that's not what that game's about. It's fairly obvious. No one in their right fucking mind, you know, would do that. But
apparently,
you know,
the judge felt the same way. He did order Take Two to give him a copy of the game and someone to play it for him so he can watch it be played.
That's fucking awesome. I wish I could apply for that job.
But Mr. Thompson is a troublemaker.
Asshole.
I mean,
it,
he's against, you know, he's the type of person that, you know, we at FPL Radio, you know, think should be part of that chunk that gives up for the greater good.
Right.
Fucking waste of, talking about a cancer. And how about this Battlefield 2142?
Oh, fuck. Fuck EA.
This is some bullshit right here.
Fuck EA.
They basically put in... this is a new game, right? It just dropped.
Just came out, yeah.
So there's a little... apparently a little slip in the box that says, just to let you know, we're going to be installing, like, this basically piece of spyware equipment. It's going to run on your computer. And when you play the game, it's going to have gathered all this information that's going to send back to EA what you're into so that we can put in this in-game advertising that appeals to you.
Right.
To make you happy. Because we don't want to advertise stuff in-game that you might be interested in after basically spying on your porn habits.
Right.
This is despicable.
Battlefield 2142, in case you guys don't know, is set obviously in the future, and the scenario is it's new global cooling period. So all of humanity, keeping in theme with, you know, humanity just needs to die for the greater good, is forced onto a small band around the equator that's still inhabitable.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, the geopolitical situation. And there's three factions, and the Battlefield series is immensely popular. You know, Battlefield 1942, Battlefield 2 is just a fucking, you know, I played it before, you know, you just hop into fucking, you know, battle and various different job roles and everything, engineer, combat troop, sniper, whatever. It's just massive ass battles. It's fun,
yeah.
You know, but EA, you know, is just, they've been pushing this fucking ad shit, you know, and it's a revenue stream for them, you know, and it's gonna get to the point where you're just gonna have shit beamed to you in while you're playing a fucking game, you know.
Yeah, and it's,
as a foreign,
it's just completely out of hand.
Right, exactly.
What was the first game that did, for some reason I want to say Duke Nukem was like the first game with like some in-game advertising.
I don't know if it was Duke Nukem or whatever those games. I mean,
I remember
no problem
playing Duke Nukem and being pissed off because I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you know, maybe it was, but I know Enter the Matrix had like in-game ad placement for like Power, whatever, some Coca-Cola power drink.
Yeah.
fucking Matrix. That's a whole other FBL Radio episode right there. It's just bullshit, man.
Yeah, I really don't think there should be in-game advertising in video games. I bought your fucking product. Fuck off.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're certainly not gonna, if you're gonna do it, you know, you're certainly not gonna like spy on my shit and then, you know, be phoning home and all this stuff. I mean, that's insane, you know? That's insane.
Yeah, man.
To expect, you know, a company, to expect people to do that for your company and make fucking money. Where are we at? 50 minutes? Let's just keep going. I got more shit to talk about.
Keep on going.
Fuck it. So, again, for, like, ever, fuck EA. I mean, EA is just a worthless...
Just
not
a bad
worthless,
company.
But it really is a bad... It's like the Walmart of video games.
That's a great description. They are definitely the Walmart of video games. Sony is the Microsoft of video games.
Even though there is a Microsoft of video games.
Right.
So what about the PlayStation and the online world? I guess there's been some stuff going around.
What I heard about, I don't know what you're about to talk about, but people were attempting to sell their $100 pre-sales on eBay. eBay yanked those auctions down, saying you can't sell an item that you don't actually have. You know, that was a development over the weekend.
Now, you got a pre-sale, didn't
you? I did get a pre-sale. I know that there's a figure in my mind that I'm going to sell this thing for the week after I get it.
Yeah.
Because I have no interest in playing any of the
launch titles.
Launch titles. I have Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion for the 360, and you know, fuck Heavenly Sword and whatever stupid first fucking gen shit they got coming out. I'm gonna buy a PS3.
Plus, making like some cash is always sweet.
Yeah, the number in my head is kind of a few times the amount of what is actually being purchased for, and I know that there's going to be some ridiculous fool who's going to fucking buy it from me on eBay.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I don't sell it, I still have a PS3, and that just means that my cock is so much bigger than everybody else's, that you know. I mean, it's a win-win situation. That's what
really
I'm trying to get.
Either make some serious cash or have PS3.
Exactly.
Now, I was talking about, I guess, finally details about the whole online environment.
Oh, I haven't been paying attention to any of that stuff.
Apparently, they're saying now the PlayStation 3 will be network ready, quote unquote. Which, if it wasn't, I mean, it's bad enough that it's not going to have fucking Rumble in the controller.
Yeah, that's only a step backward, like 10 years,
yeah,
Sony.
It's absurd. The PlayStation 3 has been designed so the network experience is part of the PlayStation experience. Microsoft Live.
Xbox Live.
Easy to connect, easy to download files. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're breaking new ground here.
Right.
Developers got to change their approach. All this crap.
Sure.
Where there's absolutely nothing special at all with PlayStation Online.
There's nothing different about Sony Online or Sony Worlds or whatever the hell they're going to call it. It's a blatant ripoff of everything that MS and Money Sign has done to this point, with a little bit of Nintendo prone in there for good measure. And I think it's going to bite them in the ass finally. You know, the fools that are willing to shell out money for PS3s and launch month notwithstanding. You know, I mean, as much as I don't want to give props, Microsoft is really playing the fucking cards right with the 360. They're going out, they're following the traditional console route. They're getting the fucking exclusive titles that they need, or they're at least ensuring that they're not exclusives on their competition's platform. At the same time, they got XNA, which is the successor to
DirectX.
DirectX, and they're putting that shit out there. They're making it available to small developers, so you can put your fucking games up for sale on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're just playing their fucking cards right with this shit, and Sony just, they seem like they don't give a fuck. You know,
they're Sony.
Right, exactly, and it's rubbing people the wrong way. I swear to God, there is not the same level of enthusiasm for the PS3 that there was for the PS2. I don't care who you are, man. It's just
surprising that Microsoft is actually kind of doing something right.
Yeah, you know, as you put it back when, you know, first got the 360 and we were fucking with it, this is the best thing they've done since Excel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Nintendo is just going to be a whole beast on their own, man.
Yeah, we'll see. So, this is, you know, going to come at at some point for sure. Can you get me another do? You mind?
No.
Thanks, buddy. Basically, you know, World of Warcraft, Second Life, millions of dollars, transactions, goods, fake virtual, all kinds of all this.
Microtransactions.
Stuff. Microtransactions. So, a quote from Dan Miller, a little closer to the mic, senior economist for the Joint Economy Committee of the U.S. Congress, said, right now, we're at preliminary stages of looking at the issue of what kind of public policy questions virtual economies raise. taxes, barter exchanges, property, and wealth. You could argue to a certain degree that the law has fallen behind because you can have virtual asset, virtual capital gains, but there is no mechanism by which you're taxed on this stuff.
And, you know, you don't need to have fucking half a brain to see this one fucking coming.
Exactly. Taxed on your virtual capital gains. It's just crazy. But, I mean, there are people that are making a living in Second Life.
Which just makes me really jealous.
Not really, because I don't want to be one of those people.
Here's a game for you, not to change the subject. DEF CON, everybody dies. Is she interested in playing that, Mr. White? Like, okay. DEF CON, everybody dies.
That's the title.
That's the title.
What are you, Googling everyone must die or something?
No, it's on GameSpot.
Oh, wow. What kind of game is it?
Strategy game. The good. It's the war game simulation you've been waiting 20 years for. Straightforward, objective, and intuitive interface makes it good for novices. Simple and elegant visual style. Online, offline games are seamless. Low price point makes it a bargain. The bad. No real dedicated single player campaign. No online leaderboards or tournaments. Computer opponent difficulty doesn't scale. Fuck. Perfect drug, man? God.
It's a great song, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like, it's fucking with me.
So, what else did the good senior economist have to say?
Imagine that. Like, how would you tax, like, underage people for their digital assets? So, like, you have, like, some fucking 13-year-old playing EQ2 and fucking World of Warcraft has, like, all this shit. Fucking smack them with a tax, dude.
Second Life economy is growing by 10 to 15% a month. Up to $500,000 in user-to-user transactions daily in the Second Life economy. I mean,
which is just a sad reflection on human society as a whole.
The thing is, I mean, while you really want to take a shit on this, like, really bad, I mean, they do have a point, is that you can take dollars and convert it into Second Life money, which is, it's in here somewhere, Linden Dollar. Because the game's made by Linden Lab. And there is an economy in there. So there's really no difference than, you know, taking your cash and changing it to fucking yen. And going to buy shit and doing stuff in China and coming back. I mean, there really isn't.
Yeah.
You know, because we all know money is fake anyway. So it's right. Just as fake as the money in Second Life. No matter, you know, whether it's pounds or yen or fucking yin-yangs or... You know, sticks and a goat. I mean...
Euros.
So...
Rubles.
That's probably... I mean, rubles are kind of cool.
I always get the Final Fantasy / Zelda money in my head whenever... I think of, like, Russian people clutching green crystals.
Why green crystals?
You know, rupees and Zelda... There is a literal connection, man.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. When you said ruples for a second there, I forgot it wasn't real money. It totally was like...
Is it rubies or ruples?
Well, there's both.
Right.
You said ruples. I'm like, that's totally money in a country that I don't remember. But I remember ruples.
Apparently, Mr. White been hanging out in Taliban forests too much as of late. Wow.
That would be awesome.
That's going to be a new lingo, man. It's going to be a new private joke. Hanging out in a Taliban forest.
I don't think that joke is really going to last that long.
It won't, but it will last almost as long as your Nazi reference.
So, but that's just going to be a whole bloody mess. So, what else do we got here? Oh, this is a great story about, like, some social engineering. There's an experiment that was carried out by a guy named Professor Harry Collins. He's a sociologist, Cardiff University. He spent 30 years studying the community of scientists who work on detection of gravity waves. Okay.
Wow. That's interesting.
The detection of gravity waves was imminent in 1976, and is still imminent today. This is what it's
scientific like. Progress.
Yeah. The consequence of this long-term involvement was that he could basically talk shop. Okay. Now, while he's not a fucking physicist by a long shot and can't get in there and do anything worthwhile within the community, he basically, it's fair to say that he knows a lot about gravity waves, but on the other hand doesn't actually understand any of the mathematics that the physicists use, therefore couldn't possibly make an original contribution to the field or even design and carry out an experiment.
Yeah, fucking freeloader.
So, seven questions on the subject of gravity waves were emailed to him and to a proper physicist that works on gravity waves. And both of them were instructed to just answer off the top of their head. And they were submitted to a panel of judges who were experts on gravity waves to decipher who was the actual physicist and who wasn't. And the results were, and the suspense is gone. All but one of the judges picked Collins, who is a sociologist, as the physicist.
Nice. So that's how much they know, huh?
No. So,
see, if he can fake it.
I mean, it is. I mean, this is, you know.
That's
the article wasn't written, but I'm reading this going, this is like perfect social engineering. You know what I mean? This guy could walk into a, you know, a gravity waves conference with his little tweed coat on and a pipe in his mouth and fucking pretend to be a physicist.
No, he's been hanging out with these fucking people for how long? You know? 30 years' time, I mean, you're going to fucking, you're going to pick up a thing or two, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's 30 years, obviously, and it's something like gravity waves, which, you know, whatever. But the idea being, you know,
you can imitate. You don't have to be. You can be a poser and succeed
exactly.
In social engineering.
And with a much easier topic, can do it much quicker. If you just pay attention, remember, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, most of my knowledge, for instance, like we were going on this before, people think I'm really smart. I'm not. I mean, no, I'm serious. People say shit all the time, like, oh, you know, you're such a genius and, you know, this and that. And it's like, no, dude, I happen to remember this obscure piece of knowledge that a fucking teacher said in passing from 10 fucking years ago.
I'm definitely right with you.
You know, I mean, if people, I have all these books, like, you know for a fact that I didn't read all those fucking books in the room. Come on, man, reading sucks. It does, man. I mean, I don't fucking read books. I mean, I don't pick up knowledge from books, man. I pick up knowledge from other people.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm definitely like a sponge. I mean, that's something that people won't get about social engineering and stuff. I've been told by several people over the years that I'm always involved in the conversation.
Yeah, which I always find to be kind of amazing, because I know your secret.
What's my secret?
That you really don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you pick up everything you possibly can. And when you talk at the right times and you get something right, people think that you know.
Yeah, I know, man. And it's really cool that you're able to do that. I wish I could.
So,
I don't like people as much as you do.
Yeah, I mean, you're
like, I wish things
you're an introvert, so
I wish things beyond that they would all should just die. You know, it's like, yeah, I am an introvert. It, you know, it's, well, I won't say scientifically proven, but, you know, it is a fact that people who are introverted, social interaction fucking taxes them physically. Like, I get physically tired as I'm dealing with fucking people, you know? it's just the way it is, you know. And it's not like emotionally draining or something like that, but, you know, that being said, I do work with people. I don't have, like, a fucking ivory tower job, you know. It's just... And I see... Let me put it to you this way. If you're trying real social engineering, if you're trying to not infiltrate a place, but if you're trying to get information out of other people, if you're hacking other people, so to speak, I can tell you the three things you need to do. One, you gotta be friendly, okay? You gotta be approachable, you know? And if they do have their defenses raised, I find that you can actually go farther if you get them to lower them. You know, it's all about breaking the ice, and there's always that ice there. You know, that's fair.
There's definitely a way to talk to people.
As Mr. White was saying, you know, you gotta pay attention to what people are saying. You gotta be at least listening to what they're saying, because you know there are fucking talking heads out there, and you meet them every day, where, you know, they're asking you questions and they're not listening to what they're fucking saying. It's a routine. Like, hi, how you doing? I don't give a fuck, you know, like, how you're really doing. I don't give a fuck what you're working on. I'm just making conversation. If you're going for social engineering, you can't do that. Every question, every point that you make has to be a mini attack. It has to, you know, not with an objective in mind, but, you know, you gotta try to draw information out of them. And it's not just all what they're saying, too. It's how they're reacting to the questions that you're saying. It's, you know, their mannerisms.
It's the whole package. It really is.
You know, that's
I mean, it really is. I mean, you can come out with such bullshit, but if you do it in the right way, it's believable.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen this in operation. I've seen other people doing it, you know, and, you know, I've had it done against me. And, of course, I fucking realized it after leaving. Like, he was fucking hacking me.
One trick that always works is, if you're going out with something that may not be true, okay? Now, if it's not true, that means no one's heard it before, right? Or a little-known fact or something like that. But if you do happen to know a little-known fact, and it could be about something else, but maybe tie it in or something, if you preface it by saying, did you know? You know, and you say, did you know that this, and this? The person's going to go, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
And believe that everything that they already know about the subject, you must already know, because you know something that they don't.
You can circumvent a lot of fucking bullshit.
And by saying, did you know, you're staging it like, I know you don't know this because nobody does.
Right. And Mr. White's talking about grabbing initiative, which you also have to do at some point. You know, you have to... Not kick them on the ground and, you know, start punching them and stuff. But, you know, you gotta get them on the defensive, but on the willing defensive. You know, you gotta get them following your
lead. Engaged into a conversation.
Because once you gain control of the conversation, you can take it where you want to take it. Wow, that was an interesting talk.
I don't know how the hell that happened, but let's not let it happen again.
Yeah, it's not a trade of skills anymore. Right?
A FedEx MD-10 freighter equipped with Northrop Grumman's Guardian Infrared Laser Jammer. This is a kick-ass song.
Yeah, I love this song.
You know, let's crank it for a second. So, a FedEx MD-10 freighter equipped with Northrop Grumman's Guardian Infrared Laser Jammer is slated to become the first wide-body commercial aircraft in scheduled service flying with technology to counter terrorist missile attacks.
What if these terrorist missile attacks being launched from marijuana forests?
Why is FedEx worried about terrorist missile attacks? Eventually, FedEx plans to fly 11 MD-10s with directed infrared countermeasures.
Now, are you familiar with MD-10s in general, Mr. White?
Not too familiar, no. Are you?
No.
Ah. I did just get this sweet-ass book on military aircraft. Not that FedEx MD-10 is military aircraft, even though it's got military technology for counter missile on it. But I got it for like $3. The thing weighs like 4 pounds. It's huge.
That's quality, man.
Yeah, it was like at Borders out front, you know, on the sidewalk. Like, we don't care what happens to this book type of thing on sale.
Right.
I have yet to crack it open, but it's all color pictures. I mean, it's a phenomenal fucking book. Something you could just sit in for like hours. Yeah. Oh. I'm like, this is like robbery. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In fact, I bet you did just steal it.
You can't prove that.
Yeah, I can.
You know, I almost bought one for you too, but I don't know why I didn't.
Because as I said before, you know my secret, I don't read books.
Yeah, but that's like so many pictures.
I don't look at pictures either, unless they're porn.
Yeah. FedEx plans to fly 11 MD-10s with this fucking bullshit over the next 18 months. Testing with the equipment developed for the military is cost-effective and reliable for commercial aircraft operations. It's the $109 million third phase of a Homeland Security Department study on the feasibility of equipping U.S. commercial aircraft fleet with technology that thwarts attacks by small missiles known as man-portable air defense systems, are man pads.
Man pads.
Developed to protect military units from attacks by low-flying 15,000-foot altitude aircraft, man pads have been manufactured in more than 20 countries, a serious threat to commercial aircraft, especially during takeoff and landings. That's just blows my mind. Along with that, Branson unveiled the Virgin spaceship. Flight costs of 190,000 or 100,000 euros. That's fucking real old. It's on the bottom pile.
How many rubles?
6 trillion. I was looking at something the other day that was like fucking Korean or something.
Yeah, like it was in Korean? You're just staring at it?
No, it was like the cost was in Korean, so it was like $1.45 or 70 quadrillion, whatever their fucking currency is. Like, why do they have numbers so huge? It was like, it was seriously like a million. You know what I mean? Like, why don't you just cut that by like a million and make it one? The whole currency outfit, you know what I mean? Like, when you go buy a car, is that seriously like 27 gabillion? You know what I mean? Like, if it's like a box of toothpicks is like 1 million in your currency. What's like an office? What's a house? You know what I mean? Like,
at that point, you gotta talk in terms of like, you know, daughters and sons. Like, how much will it cost for me to move in here? 3 toddlers.
So, in case anyone cares, the Senate voted, this is 2 weeks ago too, that the F-22 Raptor fighter jet production run will go beyond its 2011 termination date. So
2011?
Basically, they extended the program.
It's November 20th or yeah. Like 2011?
2011. Or 20.
Yeah, I fucked you up there.
Yeah, you totally fucked me up.
Sorry.
A couple interesting points. I don't know if you guys know about the F-22 Raptor fighter jet, but it's pretty much the sickest machine ever made.
It could own your mom, literally.
Yeah, it can own a lot. The flyaway sticker price on the jet is $130 million. But if development costs are included and spread over the 183 planes in the program, it rises to $350 million a plane. Basically, what it can do, it can fly at 60,000 feet, which is twice as high as any other jet plane. Its cruising speed is Mach 2. Its top speed is a Pentagon secret. It has basically no thermal signature at any speed.
How is it accomplishing no thermal signature at any speed?
A
Pentagon secret?
Yeah. It basically doesn't show up on radar, even at supersonic speeds shown here. There's a couple of glitches with it, but they're like embarrassing glitches. Structural cracks have been reported, even though we're going at an undisclosed top speed. Oh, wang. Get a couple cracks in the wing. You know what I mean? They're like, we should shut down the program because of that. Fucking stupid. But this is pretty much like the sickest plane. There isn't.
So is that going to put the U.S. Air Force out in front?
Oh, it is that plane.
Forever,
I don't have it in front of me, but if I remember correctly, you know, the engine is a fucking work of art in that thing. But the plane itself, I may get this wrong. I know for sure that there is no pilot the United States has that can basically take a turn in that thing as fast as it can turn. So what I'm saying is it could do like a 180 degree turn at like Mach 4 inside a quarter mile distance in the sky.
That's pretty sick.
The fastest it can do a 180 turn would knock out every single person that is capable of flying that jet. Fucking just knock you out. So there is not a pilot that can fly the thing. Which is why eventually this and Joint Strike Fighter are without a doubt the last fighter jets that will ever have pilots. I mean, the Joint Strike Fighter, that's a sick plane too. But the F-22 as a weapon is much, much better. But Joint Strike Fighter is more versatile plane. But yeah, I mean, they can get a plane to do that. They just can't get a pilot. So
eventually there will be, though, automated pilot.
Automated pilot. First bionic woman can feel it when people shake her prosthetic hand. So
amazing.
Prosthetic arm that can be moved just by thinking about it, and I can feel the heat and pressure of a handshake. Became a reality for U.S. Marine Claudia Mitchell 2 years after she lost her arm to a motorcycle, researchers said last week. The bionic arm is controlled by rerouting nerves in Mitchell's shoulder to healthy muscles in her chest. The targeted muscle reinnervation directs the signals once set to the amputated arm to the robotic arm via surface electrodes that respond to Mitchell's thoughts. Fucking wild.
Sick. We're getting there.
I wonder how small she can crush a beer can with that thing.
I wonder about other things she can do with that thing.
Oh, Jesus. I wouldn't let her touch my member, that's for sure.
Sick bastard, that's not what I was talking about. It took me a minute, you disgusting freak.
Is
that all you think about?
Prototype technology tested in an airport in Hungary basically is giving everyone checking in to an airport electronic tagging systems working off of RFID, which track everyone walking around the airport to within 1 meter of where they actually are, all using RFID.
Big brother keeping tabs on you.
The thing I don't get is, seriously, what is the point of tracking every single person walking around an airport with RFID tags? What is that going to get you?
You know, I alluded to this in a much earlier show. You know, one of the problems in the Vietnam War that the U.S. military came across is they had all these information gathering, you know, tools, and they were compiling all these reports on enemy movements and all that shit. All that information was there. They're tracking all these people, but you didn't have anyone there who could process all that shit in a useful way so the intelligence could be used. So, fast forward now, you're tracking every single person moving around in the fucking airport. Who's keeping track of that? I mean, obviously you have patterns that you're looking for and stuff. If some dude is making, like, 8 trips to the fucking bathroom, it might be that he's got diarrhea, but he also could be doing, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, honestly, if I'm going to blow something up, I'm going to walk in the airport, grab my RFID tag, go through security, and walk on the fucking plane. I mean, what are you going to track me getting on the plane? Of course I'm going to get on the plane.
And that's what I mean. The information,
aside from 27 trips to the bathroom. I'm just saying,
the information that gathered alone is, I think, too much to be of use to anybody, you know? And even if you did, say it took, how long does it take? Let's look at it this way. If you're going to blow up something in an airport, okay, you blow up a plane, how long is your attack going to ensue? You know what I'm saying? How long is it going to last? When you get from point A to point B and death and destruction had happened on your fucking part, what does it matter that you got tagged with an RFID tag? By the time somebody realizes...
The whole point of me bringing out. It is completely useless as a security measure.
Right.
Completely useless.
It's completely useless.
Completely useless. So, and there's so much security implemented like that.
F Hungary.
It's just completely useless.
If Big City was here, he would have stopped the show 22 minutes ago.
Most definitely. Well, I mean, we are on DDP Hack Radio, which is at ddphackradio.org.
Right.
So we have an hour and a half slot, so we just got to end it in an hour and a half so that we don't get cut off when we get aired Friday night.
Have you actually listened to us getting aired?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we sound good?
Sounds like it always does.
I don't actually listen to FBO Radio.
So, you can also find us at hackermedia.org. And we do have a website, for whatever it's worth.
FBOradio.com. You're just a hateful dude today, man. Shitting on the website.
I had...
Shitting on humanity. Shitting on Hungary.
Well, you can't always, like, you know... Talk about the website is the greatest thing. I mean, we got to seem humble at some point. So now, next time.
Yeah, we don't want to be like Emmanuel Goldstein.
Goldstein. Goldstein. I did have this pretty big story Feinstein. To talk about, but I will save it for next time.
Yeah, is that next week or 2 weeks from now?
I said next time, which is 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now.
Right.
And
one day you'll get it right.
Hopefully, Big City will wash the sand out of his vagina by that point.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I'm just a little extra tired today, you know? What are you?
No, dude, there's no excuse for that. You haven't been this hateful since you lost your virginity. To a man.
Oh, way to slip that in.
Yeah.
If you guys send us an email, we'll probably read it on the air. If there's a song you'd like to hear, email us the MP3 WAV file.
Right. Contribute to our future lawsuit fund, by the way, through PayPal. Or, you know, so we can contribute, you know, to scientific community trying to prevent death.
Don't contribute anything. So if there's a song you want to hear, email it to us. And if you'd like some free stickers, some free business cards, some free other shit, just send us your address and we'll send you some stuff in the mail for free.
P.O. box, whatever.
Yeah, P.O. box, you know, homeless guy in a corner, but just
you know, something that the post office is satisfied with. Exactly. And those of you who are dying, continue dying for the good of humanity. We beg of you.
I'm hoping that, because the playlist here is just set on random, that it randomly goes on to a sweet song that we can go out with right now.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But it's probably not going to happen, so we're going to see what it is. It's a song I don't even know. Taproot? I have no idea who that is.
Taproot? Weren't they like a rock band back in the late 90s? That was supposed to be the next best thing.
I was fixing this computer for somebody, and I saw it on there, so I just stole it. I was like, it's got heavy guitars. It can go into the F build. Wow, this song sucks. Sorry, Taproot fans out there.
You know, can I ask you a serious question? What is your criteria for rating music that is either shitty or... Because it takes you all of, like, 0.5 seconds to say, wow, this is the worst song I've ever heard. So, you know what? You know, what is it? How is Mr. White, you know... How is the ranking?
Dude, we gotta go, man. We gotta...
Come on, you can't give a compressed version? You've been waiting all your life to be asked this question.
No, I haven't. Well, I mean, I do play, so I can tell you that there's really nothing special in the music of this song. The vocals aren't anything great, and it's nothing that doesn't sound like 27 other bands already. And that, right off the bat, just... So, you know, it's written off.
Right, so what would it take to not be written off by Mr. White?
Just at least a little bit of a spark of a fucking promise of something good.
A glimmer of dismal hope of talent is required. Okay, it's, you know, that's my little interview segment. Mr. White, right. Musical taste. So, For Big City.
For Big City and Malice Factor. I am Frank White, episode 34. Fuck y'all.
Peace.
Now, here's a good song.